This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Mark Bergen about his new book, Like, Comment, Subscribe, Inside YouTube's Chaotic Rise to World Domination. You can call in to share your experiences with YouTube as a consumer or producer of content, for better or worse. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring out a caller now. Fred is with us in Madison. Fred, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I've been looking at YouTube for over 10 years, and I spend way too much time on it. But what happens very often is a video with sound and music will be on for months or maybe years. Then it'll go down. It'll be taken down. And the reason it's taken down is because someone owns the copyright. Some lawyer or company has decided to sue or threaten YouTube. And I mean, my own predilection is to look at old videos of opera and records from the 20s and 30s. Quite a few have been taken down. Oh. From like Poland in the 30s or France in the 30s and 40s.
Interesting, Fred. Thanks a lot for the call. The answer to this question has changed over the years, Mark, but how does YouTube police Fred's content to see if it's going to go away?
Yeah, that's a fascinating question. And I think it certainly points out to like the role that YouTube has as this, like, as an archival tool, right? It's primarily where a lot of footage that doesn't exist anywhere else on the internet lives. So YouTube has built this system pretty early on called Content ID that's a tool that allows them to automatically identify copyrighted material and then go to the copyright owner and say, if someone else uploaded that video, not the copyright owner, we can take this down or we can give you all the money that runs on that video. There was some stat, I believe it was last year, something along the order of like 4 million copyright claims a day are made on YouTube. So it's an astoundingly complex system, and one in which is largely automated. And so the decisions are made where the companies, you know, the copyright holder will contest something and take down a video. Often the person who uploads that video only gets like an automated email address. And certainly the viewer doesn't understand the rationale behind it, or the company doesn't really explain itself.
Fred, thanks for that call. One of many controversies for YouTube over the years has been what people call the rabbit hole, where people get steered into more and more conspiracy-laden videos. You write that a former employee there, Claire Stapleton, who'd played a key role earlier on, after leaving the company, raised questions like, quoting here, how had her company, so devoted to organizing the world's information, built a megaphone and payment system for conspiracists, cranks, and hate mongers? Can you talk about how that issue has played out at YouTube?
Yeah, I think, I mean, what's unique about YouTube is that not just, it has a similar problems to other social networks, that there are kind of these echo chambers where the way that their algorithms are set up are really effective at delivering people the kind of video and content that they want. And often that will be reinforcing previously held beliefs, or if you're watching one video that says one thing, the way that it's structured is to, you know, it's to share another video that has similar positions. And that's really convenient when you're talking about maybe like a certain comedian you like, or in the case of a certain type of old music, right? That's a really fabulous discovery tool, but it can get much more complicated when it's just feeding people one side of an argument. And you're right, like this was something that television and newscasters have taken pride in, this idea of having a balanced perspective. So the company had a big change starting in 2019, you know, dealing with criticism around this, both from inside the company, which I talk about in the book, and outside. Their solution has been to attempt what they call borderline videos. That's sort of subjects that are controversial, like around conspiracies about flat Earth or certain political topics. They just try not to recommend as often as possible. I think it's a very difficult problem, in part because it's a political and subjective one, and the company's likes to tackle problems as computer science and engineering and with algorithms, and this is something that's really hard to solve with software.
As we wrap up, Mark, YouTube was once known for sort of the zany, weird, out of nowhere video, the Charlie bit my finger and things like that. And now it's this huge institution that, you know, other social media companies are trying to capture that old YouTube energy. How is YouTube still trying to be that?
I mean, it's trying to be many things all at once. You know, it is both trying to be sort of a streaming service and competing for time on television screens. And it has YouTube TV, which is like a sort of an alternative to cable. And it's also now on the other side, it's trying to compete with TikTok, which is competing for a lot of attention and younger, certainly like younger people. And is also the first real competitor to YouTube to start paying its creators in a somewhat meaningful way. And that's a new and interesting threat. And so YouTube is, if you ever use the YouTube app, you're probably going to see a lot more Shorts, which is their TikTok copycat.
Mark, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Mark Bergen. He's a business journalist who covers technology for Bloomberg. He was with us today to talk about his new book, Like, Comment, Subscribe, Inside YouTube's Chaotic Rise to World Domination. Coming up, we hear the story of a refugee who fled Ukraine and is now lecturing at UW Oshkosh. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Tom Lujak joins me. We are here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future radio listening.
You know, listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs that you count on. Programs like this one, Central Time. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
Make an even bigger impact when you give right now, because $25,000 is going to be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by the end of the day tomorrow.
A group of generous members have created this challenge to inspire your support for the programs that you and really our entire community relies on.
Let's meet that challenge. Your gift of any amount right now makes a big difference. Make your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, in this last segment, we heard all about the story of YouTube and why it is such an interesting, fascinating place to be and serve so many people. And, you know, it's just one of the many, many different stories that you hear every day, every week here on Central Time. These are the kind of conversations that you can count on a regular basis.
WPR is listener supported, so that means that your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all the topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose the amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Now that you've made the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio, you might be looking for the best way to make your gift. The answer, consider becoming a sustainer. You decide on a monthly amount to be charged to your bank account or credit card, and then you set it up to be ongoing.
A sustaining gift is a powerful way of donating because it provides reliable funding for the programs you count on. You make an easy-to-pay monthly gift. Those donations add up to have a huge impact for Wisconsin Public Radio. Choose an amount, 10 or 20 bucks a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, living here in Wisconsin, we all know that keeping up with the election news and understanding politics isn't always easy, but WPR can help. We're here with the facts and the insights you need as you get ready to vote in November.
And after the balloting and counting is done, we'll look at what it all means for the future of the state. That's our commitment to you. Now make your commitment to this essential service that you and your entire community rely on. Support WPR's accurate and dependable reporting, both on the air and online. Donate now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Rob, I don't know about you, but I know it's easy to spend a dollar or more a day on those things that are part of our routines, like a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, maybe your favorite snack.
All of the above. Consider the news, the info, the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe a dollar a day, $30 a month is the right donation for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Support the programs you count on every day.
And just a reminder, a group of generous members will give $25,000 in challenge funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs that you count on.
Show off your love for Wisconsin and Wisconsin Public Radio with your new pair of WPR socks. Ask for yours when you give $15 a month for WPR's essential public service. Make that gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, well, thank you, and consider today the day that you increase your support of WPR. Consider $5 or $10 more a month, whatever amount you choose. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Gloria in Oconomowoc says, I love Central Time with Rob and all the programs on WPR. Gene in Ellison Bay says, I donate because I love to listen. Thank you. Now it's your turn. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you.